Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
They say home is where the heart is, and the reality is that home is where all of your precious belongings are located. Home is your sanctuary after a hard day's work. Home is a special place where you create memories with your family and your friends. So when you want to protect yourself and your most precious investment, go with the nation's number one smart home security provider, ADT. With ADT Smart Home Security, you'll have a team of professionals monitoring your home 24/7 using the latest innovations to safeguard your property. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com.
Your life, your country. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast.
Who needs Jussie Smollett when you have Erica Thomas? Well, one race hoax can trump another because there's actual allegations of violence, as we had in Chicago. But Erica Thomas had the benefit of riding the coattails of AOC plus three and the send them back horror show of saying send them back, a.k.a. love it or leave it, which a lot of us growing up in the 70s and 80s, we remember hearing people say love it or leave it about the old Vietnam War generation. You don't like it, love it or leave it. It wasn't about your color of your skin. It was love it or leave it. This is America. You can disagree with our policies, but if you start trashing the foundational values of the country and the institutions of the country in such a nasty way, then leave it. And the same thing with like Alec Baldwin saying he was going to leave the country and he doesn't leave. I love the scrolling list of people who claim that they were going to leave the country when Trump was elected. None of them left. Just once would they follow through on their promise. They just never, ever do. So the second this video emerged over the weekend, so I was away with some folks, and we were up in Martha's Vineyard. And, it's just incredible, incredible time from beginning to end. And, of course, someone who I was with said, check it out. And I said, check what out? I don't want to look online. And it was this video. The first reaction I had was, it's not true. It is not true. And it's because of what I know about acting classes and how you conjure up a tear, or it seemed phony. That was my gut. It's phony. This is what she said.
I decided to go live because I'm very upset because people are getting really out of control with this white privilege.
Oh, please.
Stuff. I'm at the grocery store and I'm in the tin aisle, the aisle that says 10 items or less. Yes, I have 15 items, but I'm 9 months pregnant and I can't stand up for long. And this white man comes up to me and says, you lazy son of a bitch.
Oh, right.
He says, you lazy son of a bitch. You need to go back where you came from.
So look, she was crying and my instinct was someone probably said something rude to her. But it was all a little too perfect. So this stuff has got to stop. White privilege. Well, the tearful tale went on.
He says, you're ignorant. You're ignorant. And it hurt me so bad. I'm sorry, y'all, because everything in me wanted to just tell him who I am and how I know. But I couldn't get anything out. I could just tell him, please leave me alone, please. And my child is just sitting right there. He said, mama, why would he call you that? Why would he do that? I can't even explain to her why he has so much hate in his heart.
Okay. Again, maybe it's just because I've seen a lot. And I, sometimes it takes me a while to see who is a real phony. Words versus deeds, phonies. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a phony. Okay. We all have our flaws, but phony, I'm not a phony. What I say is what I mean. It doesn't mean I'm always right, but I say what I mean. Maybe it's that I just feel like at this age, at this point in my life, I now have kind of seen the phonies for who they are. And so I see this and I said, it's all too perfect. Something happened and it probably was unpleasant. Because none of us deal with unpleasant things throughout the day. People cutting us off, flipping us the bird. People. Oh, I love the TSA person. Right in front of TSA calling. This was a while ago. It was a stupid blonde. I'm like, well, I said, I can't really disagree with you that, you know, I guess some people who have different color hair are stupid, but I actually not really blonde. So it doesn't apply to me. It was funny. It doesn't bother me. That stuff doesn't bother me. No one's words who I don't know have any power over me. That I just don't care. Doesn't mean you don't get ticked off. But I just knew something about this just seemed a little too perfect because of Trump. The hatred of Trump. She was a Democrat, Georgia state rep. Someone said something rude to her, but it just didn't seem to add up. Very interesting it then gets when the man, that individual accused of all of this nastiness, his name is Eric Sparks. He came forward the next day on Saturday and said this.
I walked into Publix, bought my three items. There were three checkout lanes. One was an express. The other two were empty. I kept my tongue shut. I walked and paid for my items in one of the empty lanes. This lady, I noticed, had about 20 items on her on the conveyor, okay? I walked up to the two customer service associates from Publix, asked them what can be done in a nice manner. They said, corporate policy, we can't do anything, but you as a customer can say something. I took a step outside the store, thought about it, turned around, walked up to Miss Thomas, and said, ma'am, not to be rude, my exact first words, pointing at the sign, which shows it on the surveillance camera, which I've seen already, pointing at the sign, 10 items or less. She berates me after that. I don't remember exactly what she said, but on camera, she approached me, came towards me as I took a couple steps back. She said a few words. I do not recall exactly what those words were. I said, you're selfish. She did mention she's 9 months pregnant. I said, it doesn't matter in this case. There's no point on this case. There's two empty lines. You don't need to be in the express lane. Then I stated, she said a few words. I stated, well, you're selfish little bitch. I did say that. That's all I said after that, and I walked out of Publix. Her words stating on Twitter in her video, stating I told her she needs to go back where she came from, are untrue. I am Cuban. I am not white. I am a Democrat, number one. I vote Democrat party line. All my statements are anti-Trump, anti-Republican, anti-racism, anti-bigotry.
And then they're standing, and Mike, explain this to our podcast listeners. How did they come to stand next to each other the next day? Because I was off sailing. I didn't focus on all this.
The TV station did an interview with her right outside of the Publix.
Ah.
And so she's doing the interview, and then he walks over and tries to give her explanation.
Ooh.
And she kind of gets pissed at him, and she says this.
I am facing the man that degraded me and berated me, and I'm not crying. No, I'm not. I'm standing right in front of you. If you know how you made me feel yesterday, if you know how you made
back
my daughter feel.
Back off before I call the police.
Call the police right now because
back
they
off.
Are looking for you.
I already talked to them. I already talked
it's
to
okay.
them.
It's okay. I am so
back
happy
off.
That you're here.
Am
and
I
I'm
arrested?
Happy that everybody needs to see this man that did this to me. And he thinks that he gets a 5 minutes of fame. You think that you're going to come up when you see police, when you see SB 46, you think you're going to come up here and get a spotlight? No, you're not. The only spot that you're going to get is everybody needs to see the man that
ma'am,
did this to
a
woman that's 9 months
are
pregnant.
Are you a state legislator?
Thank you. Nobody is here for you.
Are you a state
Nobody
legislator?
Oh, this is good. So he did. See, so what? And now it's all emerging. She didn't like being told, you're in the wrong lane. There's two empty lanes. She turned on him. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy. Like, if you did this, you'd be in hiding right now. He got up there. He's a Cuban, so Cubans are very proud people. So he's a big Democrat, big deal. I don't care what he is. But he goes up and he says, I didn't do this. I did get mad. And this is what I said. But that's not a hate crime.
Yeah, exactly. He admits it. He's totally fine with admitting, hey, yeah, I called you a bitch.
Right.
But I didn't say the racist comments that you're accusing me of making. And now he's thinking of suing for defamation.
Good.
He should.
Good. The best thing of all is that We had U.S. Congressman Lou actually went on television and spoke about this.
You just saw a video go viral today from Erica Thomas. She's a Georgia elected official who was told to go back from where she came. And I think we're seeing a lot of people experiencing that insult. And again, we're all going to take action and we're going to vote in 2020.
I want to thank all of our sponsors who are just so awesome. They provide this podcast free to you every week. Among them, GenuCell, Delta Animal Rescue, ADT Home Security. Again, they help provide this podcast free every week. Great products, great companies, great people here on the Laura Ingraham Podcast. Joining us now, a woman who has been documenting so much in the way of these hate crime hoaxes over the years, the false siren of racism, the defamatory charge of racism being leveled at any political adversary, as we've seen with AOC plus three, the attempt to brand Trump as a racist because he's, you know, winning in the economy. You can't argue that, so you just call him a racist. Michelle Malkin, who's just been ahead of the curve on this, immigration, so many other issues, is with us now, a conservative blogger, a syndicated columnist. Michelle, this you're probably, if I guess, when the first moment you saw this, you knew it was fake.
Yeah, had all the telltale signs and flags, Laura. And I have to say, though, after covering hundreds and hundreds of these over the last quarter century, this one really, really takes the cake. And it turns out that Erica Thomas has been essentially fishing for exactly this kind of moment for quite a while now. On her social media Twitter account, she had previously complained about some imagined instance of racism at her local community pool. And it also turns out that she was a huge fan of Jussie Smollett's, which is just the greatest poetry out there. And now, yesterday, she held a press conference where she tried to backtrack off of her backtracking. You couldn't write a skit as delicious as this, Laura.
Yeah, so she's now saying what after the backtrack from Saturday?
So yesterday she said she wanted to make clear that she wasn't backtracking and that, in fact, Eric Sparks had made some sort of comment that echoed President Trump's, even though she had said specifically, as you referenced, that he did not say any specific words about telling her to go back home. Liars lie in the most brazen ways, but hate crime hucksters are the most self-denying people of all, I think. And because their stories, as you mentioned earlier, are so good to be true, it behooves anybody who has a social media account to hesitate before they rush to embrace any kind of hashtag that says, I stand with fill in the blank when it comes to racial issues.
Michelle, these are a couple of the different statements that you referenced that she made. And again, the anatomy of a racial smear coming unwound. This is Erica Thomas on Saturday, I believe. Yes, that's the first one we're going to play when she made her initial backtrack. Let's listen.
He said, go back, you know, those types of words. I don't want to say, he said, go back to your country or go back to where you came from, but he was making those types of references is what I remember.
Go back to the line for over 10 items. Okay, so now that's the same as go back to your home country.
Yes, that's right. Go back to another aisle.
And now, Michelle, you have to laugh because it's so pathetic. I think most people are just looking at this going, is this the game you're really bringing? Because it's so lame. Like an eighth grader could see through this. Then she does the backtrack of the backtracking.
I want to make sure that everyone knows that in any way, am I backtracking on my statement or am I retracting on anything that I said?
Okay, so because then she was made fun of for backtracking and she says she's not backtracking. So, and this guy, meanwhile, is a Trump-hating Cuban Democrat. First of all, how do they find a Trump-hating Cuban Democrat? That's what I said on my show. I don't know one Trump person, a Cuban Democrat who doesn't like Trump. It reminds me of Smollett, though. It reminds me a lot of it with just different fact patterns.
Yes, that's right. The evolution and then You know, this is borrowed from the days of the Dan Rather hoax of fake but accurate. Well, he didn't exactly say those words, but I'm going to interpret it that way for maximum political benefit. And all of the people who originally rushed out to support her are either deleting their tweets, like Congressman Liu did, as you mentioned, or they're just going to double down because they're convinced that she was some sort of martyr and victim. But to me, if you look at the video, I mean, she hulks over this little Cuban man. The idea, if you think about when she initially came out with her live stream, when she was blubbering on the video, you'd think that she had been intimidated by someone, you know, who was an MMA fighter.
Giant.
The whole thing is so detached from reality.
Now, but then in going back to the larger issue here, which is the Democrats feeding this narrative of racial grievance. So I call it Generation G for grievance. They have grievance about everything. You have a car, they don't. You have a house, they don't. You won't go on vacations, they don't. You didn't build that. I want what you have, and I'm going to come take it. You don't deserve it. Reparations. Now it's the new grievance, not new grievance, but a newly expressed vitriolic racial grievance that's been given a lot of life, Michelle, because of AOC plus three.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of nicknames out there for the squad, and I call them the Congressional Brat Pack, and it is that sense of entitlement, the grievance mongering, the perpetual victimhood status of these women when they're the people that are in power. They're the people with influence. They're the people at the top of the political hierarchy. And, you know, whether it's talking about the squad or people like Ayanna Pressley in particular, who at the Netroots conference was demanding that anybody who run for political office voice their skin color or voice their identity. If you're not a black voice and representing the black voice, you don't deserve a spot at the table, is what she's saying now. The same thing for Asians or Muslims or queers, as she said. These are the people who've changed the entire dynamic and structure in political life, and yet they continue to moan about their lack of access to power. And with regard to hate crime hoaxes as well, you know, it's not until you have an inflection point of brave enough people saying, this smells, you know, this stinks to high heaven. And it's those brave people who are out there who are willing to call it what it is that were able to expose these things in the first place. And I don't know if it was fate or karma or providence that this man ended up there just as she was giving another interview. But thank goodness for small favors.
Well, and Michelle, number one, it's caught on surveillance video, so she knows that. I probably don't have audio, but they have video. But secondly, the guy is, again, you managed to get into an altercation with a Trump-hating Cuban Democrat. I mean, most things seem not to be falling the Democrats' way lately. I mean, Nancy Pelosi got outmaneuvered with the AOC plus three dust up. They totally own her now. It's embarrassing. I mean, it's really embarrassing for the Democrat Party. But they just keep stepping in it. And I think it's the frustration that despite everything they've thrown at Trump, and I disagree with some of the stuff Trump has done. This budget is a disaster. Too slow to enforce the immigration laws that are on the books. But, you know, at least they're starting to get their acting gear at the border now. And they're going to start doing expedited removal. But that having been said, with all the junk that's been thrown at him, every allegation, everything, I mean, the fact that the economy has done so well and he doesn't just crack up every day is amazing. I mean, it's really incredible.
It is amazing. And one of the things that makes this president unique as a figure in American politics is that he does not shrivel and wither and fade in the face of being called a racist. And when that hashtag was trending the other day when the whole squad thing broke out of racist in chief, we know, you and I, Laura, what any other Republican candidate or elected official would have done in the face of all that. And he comes back and doubles down. And I just appreciate that so much after a quarter of a century with dealing so many of these hate crime hucksters. And, you know, after seeing so many people in establishment Washington in the swamp, capitulate to those forces. The one thing I want to say about the hate crime hoaxes is, as well, too, is, you know, I you went to Dartmouth, I went to Oberlin. You know, they're twin sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. And we saw all of the identity politics and multiculturalism fester in the late 80s and early 1990s. Mm-hmm. And I went back to Oberlin 16 years ago and gave a speech on hate crime hoaxes. And what I said then definitely holds now, which is that these liberals see racism where it doesn't exist. They fabricate it where they can't find it, and they ignore it within their own ranks. And that is essentially the state of the Democratic Party today.
I agree. And again, I think one of the many reasons that Trump has enduring strength as a political figure doesn't just come from his office, but it comes from the fact, Michelle, that he says what so many Americans want to say. Like, I call you on your BS. You're the racist. You see everything through a racial prism. I'm not a racist, and you're a total fraud. Everybody's been so cowed. No one wants to speak the truth. They're afraid of losing their job, not getting a promotion, not getting into college, getting in trouble, you know, in the military. Everyone's afraid. And he says, you know something? You don't have to be afraid anymore. You have just as much right to speak out and call them on their stuff as they do to try to call you on your stuff. And I think that's refreshing to a lot of people.
It's liberating. It's a relief that there's somebody in elected office, and thank God the highest one in the land, who does speak our same language. And, you know, the bottom line, of course, is that what he's talking about is that we should have people who have sworn an oath of office who put America first and who don't see that phrase and those principles as some sort of white supremacist dog whistle. I mean, we hear it all the time. I mean, you look at the onslaught that you and I face all the time and have for, you know, upwards of three decades now of being accused of being a racist or a xenophobe, of being heartless. I mean, we're both mothers of children mm-hmm. of color, but that's not enough. I am of color, and I still get called a white supremacist every single day. And to be able to brush it off is, you know, is the most liberating thing of all. And I'm glad that our president feels the same way about it.
No, I agree. I love that when they try to do that to you, Michelle. The best, and that cracks me up. That just totally cracks me up. And then the same thing with me, like, you're a racist. You're a white supremacist. I said, really? How much work have you done down in Central America, my friend? I mean, tell me, let's talk about all your volunteer and all the communities you've helped rejuvenate and all the help you've given these orphans. Let's hear about it. I want to hear about all the work you've done. I just call them right. And they're such frauds that none of it bothers me. It really doesn't. It just, you know, but I think everyone on our side has to stick together because Lord knows they're sticking together. So we have to do the same thing for each other.
That's absolutely right. I mean, this penchant for throwing people under the bus at the first whiff of an attack from the coordinated left and the media. And we saw this especially, too, with the Antifa thugs. I mean, they are out for blood. They smell blood. And it does require us to stick together more than we ever have before.
Yeah,
sure.
we're talking to Michelle Malkin here on the Laura Ingraham podcast. Michelle, I know you will scream when you hear this if you already haven't. Cory Booker, whose campaign is down in low single digits, is trying desperately to have another Spartacus moment, you know, like the one he had in the Kavanaugh hearings. So this was Corey last night on, on Seth Meyers' show. Let's listen.
Donald Trump is a guy who, you understand, he hurts you. And my testosterone sometimes makes me want to feel like punching him, and which would be bad for this elderly, out-of-shape man that he is if I did that. Physically weak specimen.
I've never heard a man talk about testosterone before. Like, this is an odd phrasing. It's like, it sounds very insecure.
I wonder which focus group tested that.
Yeah.
It also reminds me, of course, that Cory Booker, besides the Spartacus moment, is most famous for inventing a composite inner city friend called T-Bone. So I think that T-Bone is now his political strategist, and this is his ploy to take the masculinity award among Democratic candidates.
But, you know, they're all going to fall away fairly soon. I mean, they can't really keep up this act much longer. So you see this playing out, Michelle. What do you see? I mean, the kind of last gaggle standing, who will it be?
Well, you know, I know a lot of people laugh when, you know, we hear warnings about Elizabeth Warren sort of, you know, mopping the floor with all of these people. But I think she should be taken seriously, you know, even after all of the Pocahontas debacle. This woman is organized, and, you know, this is what she's wanted her entire life. And if that happens, then I think we're looking at another 4 years for Donald Trump to finish what he started.
Yeah, I don't think Grandma Warren Pocahontas is going to. I mean, all you need to do is just replay that 23andMe phone call with the Jeanette. All you need to do is play that on a continual loop, and it's just that's just not going to end well. I don't see that men are turned off by her, I think, and just she's kind of that way. Donald Trump is he's a racist, by golly, and my pawpaw said that. You know, if my cheekbones got any higher, they'd be as tall as the Empire State Building.
I've never heard your Warren impression. It is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that. I've worked on that over time. You know, that's my next line of work. You know, that's my next line of work. Michelle, before we let you go, we wouldn't be an appearance with you if we didn't talk about what's happening on immigration. The push to decriminalize border crossings in the Democrat Party, again, moving ever further, farther to the left on that issue. Where do we stand?
Well, belatedly, the Trump administration is taking steps to do more to turn away people at the border. This is really what needs to happen. You know, I've long advocated that we build more detention bed space. I mean, back in 2002, we only had 2,000 beds, and I said that we need to quadruple or quintuple that. But I think, you know, the ultimate solution here is not to let them in, give them room and board, and then let them go, and then try to chase them afterwards. To, you know, the hysteria of the open borders crowd, but to prevent them from getting in the first place. And it is systemic because we've got the problem at the border, and then we've got this issue with refugee resettlement of, you know, anti-American grievance mongers and jihad cobblers like Ilhan Omar. And so the proposal this week to freeze refugee resettlements and bring down the number to zero is something that I've advocated for a long time as well. We need a moratorium to absorb the people we already have here, to chase down the people who are criminal aliens and deport them and make sure they don't come back, and to provide us breathing room to do the job that we're supposed to do when we bring people into the country, which is assimilate them.
Yeah, 100%. And instead, we have our Border Patrol rescuing people out of the Rio Grande because we're never going to watch someone, you know, drown. And then we have to, like, process them in when the law currently as stated allows us to quickly repatriate them. I mean, Dan Horowitz has been doing the greatest writing on this, saying the current law allows us to repatriate people very quickly, and we're not doing it. So I hope that we're going to begin to do expedited removal of folks. But just for fun, this is Joe Scarborough to end this interview. Let's listen.
I remember back 2005, 2006, when stories broke about how the United States and our allies were treating terrorists, suspected terrorists that we captured. And we are now doing that to 5-, 6-, 7-year-old children, 10-year-old children who, let me say again, for the ignorant, are coming here, many of them with their parents legally, to seek refugee status. That is not illegal. That is a legal action.
So that's a new word. They're legally here. Just they're all legitimate claims.
There's so much BS packed in there. Let me just say that, first of all, we spend billions. This is taxpayer-subsidized money through the Health and Human Services Department as well as the State Department to house thousands and thousands of people who come here falsely claiming asylum and then are, as we've long talked about, caught and released. And those billions of dollars go into foster care, diapers, yoga classes. People have no idea. And so that propaganda really needs to be pushed back against. As for legal asylum claims, you're supposed to do it legally in your home country at first, and that has been hijacked by the American Immigration Lawyers Association and then repeated falsely by open borders tools like Joe Scarborough.
Michelle Malkin, you're just so fantastic. We love having you on. Of course, Fox News Channel contributor and syndicated columnist extraordinaire. Michelle, thanks so much, girl. We'll talk to you soon. And I want to remind everybody who's been listening to this podcast about the great skincare products that our friends at Chamonix they put together with incredible compounds. And one that I just you guys seem to just love, and I'm so happy about it, is the Genucel's amazing, amazing new jawline treatment. Now, a jawline, your neck, it's kind of sensitive skin. You want the MDL technology, the proprietary base, the brand new treatment that helps get your skin back to looking tighter, healthier, younger looking. Cheryl from Fort Wayne, Indiana loves it. She said she's been using it for a week. She says the results are visible and her jawline looks so much better, even younger. Smiley face. All right, well, love it. Keep sending us all of these comments, and I love to read them, and I'll continue to share them with all of you out there. Remember, it's just Genucel.com. That's Genucel.com. You get 100% of your money back, no questions asked, if you don't like the results, but you will, I'm telling you. But it's a great deal and just great guarantee. So you order now, and you get the Genucel for bags and puffiness, also free with your order, and also the Genucel immediate effects, also free. So there's no time but the present to get the best skin possible with the Genucel line of products. That's Genucel.com and two free gifts and express shipping at Genucel.com. You know, I love my two dogs, and I believe all animals deserve to live a life of peace and happiness, safety. All animals deserve that. All people deserve that. But just in focusing on animals for a moment, Delta Rescue is the largest no-kill, care-for-life animal sanctuary of its kind in the world. It's a super sanctuary. It's home to more than 1,500 animals, and they've all been, in one way or another, abandoned in the wild. Well, you can help this beautiful mountaintop ranch continue its mission and continue to deliver help to the animals in need with compassion, by including Delta Rescue in your estate plans. 100% of your donations go directly to the animals of the Delta Rescue Super Sanctuary. And all you need is to get more information on the Delta Rescue tax-saving estate planning option. Now, just visit deltarescue.org/Laura. Again, it's deltarescue.org/Laura. Learn more about the great benefits of your estate contribution. Donate today at deltarescue.org/Laura.
I want to start by making something very clear. We don't consider political viewpoints, perspectives, or party affiliation in any of our policies or enforcement decisions, period. Impartiality is our guiding principle.
Well, that's Jack Dorsey, who prides himself on his starvation diet that he does. He doesn't eat for days on end. And he starved his ability to, I think, be completely candid when it comes to how Twitter operates. Because although it's probably not as bad as Facebook, I don't think so, as far as, you know, seeming to be unfair to conservatives. But nevertheless, it looks like, as far as like these angel moms are concerned, people like Marianne Mendoza, who's she's an angel mom of police sergeant Brandon Mendoza, who was killed by an illegal alien in 2014. I mean, she has been banned from Twitter for calling out politicians for basically, you know, being terrible on this issue of illegal immigration in sanctuary cities. And now she's at least for now, banned on Twitter. President Trump came to her defense saying, I'll help angel mom and great woman Marianne Mendoza with Twitter. I know Marianne from the beginning, and she should never be silent. She's a winner who has lost so much, her child. Twitter, if you're watching, please do what you have to do now. And she joins us now. Marianne, it's good to talk to you. We've talked before. So what did you do that was so so much in violation of Twitter's rules?
Well, I called out Kamala Harris, asking her what laws I could break in this country and have her defend me so staunchly and provide sanctuary for me in her sanctuary state of California. And I let her know that it's because of her inaction, all politicians in D.C. who are their inaction of border security, that they have blood on their hands for every American killed by an illegal alien that they protect. And I called out Nancy Pelosi and Ilora, I can't pronounce her last name. She was an attorney testifying at the migrant children hearing that Tom Homan was at and was calling him a liar, telling him 90% of these people show up for asylum hearings, and I called her out. You know, you're providing free legal advice for these illegal, for these illegals, but you, where have you been providing anything for American families? And, you know, she's a demise of our country from within, these attorneys who are offering all this legal advice on how they can get around the loopholes in this country to arrive here.
Well, and again, they can say the most, you know, hateful, defamatory things on Twitter. I mean, I had a U.S. congressman call me white supremacist a couple weeks ago. Castro. What's his first name? Julian Castro, yeah. Julian Castro. And why isn't he banned? But he gets to say, and all you're saying is, you know, blood on your hands for every death of it. I mean, that's kind of, people have said blood on your hands for every war we fought. And that's kind of like a common refrain for people to say. So you call out liberals and you get banned.
I've used that hashtag many, many times. I have always put illegal aliens in capital letters in my tweets. So if this is what, because they haven't let me know what was so wrong with those. They just told me it's hateful, harmful, and threatening, all of my six tweets. Then why haven't they referred back to every tweet that I've used those in? They've just picked a few, and it seemed pretty odd to me that it was 2 days after I had put on Twitter that I was on the advisory board for Women for Trump, that all of a sudden I'm a target. And when I posted those six tweets on Facebook to let everybody know I was suspended from Twitter, Facebook put me in jail for 3 days for posting those tweets on there.
You can't. What do you make of what's happening now with these Democrats and all their media abettors, aider and abettors, focusing on kids in cages, kids in cages? All they can say is kids in cages. There's never any empathy or compassion directed toward the, you know, angel moms and dads and brothers and sisters out there. But it's they have one refrain. You can't detain children. Well, yes, you can, actually, because a judge said you have 20 days, which is not enough. But you have 20 days to figure out, like, where they're from. Do they have relatives here? What's going on? And yet the Democrats just, you know, they just harp on that one narrative. They think it's going to work for them, obviously.
Well, and what sickens me, Laura, is, you know, they were crying for so many months that it was a manufactured crisis. And now that it's come to the crescendo that it has, now they're down there exposing it all, this manufactured crisis, and blaming Trump and blaming the Border Patrol agents and blaming them because they have no accountability for their non-action. They will never take accountability for what they don't do. And this is what sickens me about these people, because stand up. You're an elected official, and you took an oath to protect Americans in this country, and that's the last thing that they've done for decades. And
have
this
you
money
heard?
Has been earmarked since Reagan, you know, for border security, and they frivolously spent all that money on whatever they chose to do with it, but they haven't taken care of the problem.
Do you hear from other angel parents, angel relatives, as this fight continues with border enforcement?
Oh, absolutely. We're in touch daily. You know, there's a whole network of us, and we're in touch, and we're frustrated, and we're angry. It's really hard to see these hearings that they have And that woman who was testifying that her 19-month-old daughter died weeks after she left the detention center, why isn't the blame put on that mother? She brought this child on this treacherous trip. She arrived at the border in Border Patrol custody sick. Border Patrol got her the medical help she needed. She died how many weeks after they were released from the detention center? Yet they have a congressional hearing and allow these congressional leaders to just scream and yell at our Border Patrol agents, all the while letting this woman skate by. And then the icing on the cake is she's suing the government for $3 million. You know, if I had done anything to cause the death of my son, I would be sitting in jail right now. You know, I never would have done it, the things that that woman did to her child. And this is what is so terrible, that they don't hold these people accountable for what they've put their children through.
Well, I'm not going to say she doesn't care about her child. I think she's was completely irresponsible in how she decided to make the journey up, and Lord knows what they saw on the way. But the U.S. government is responsible for not securing the border, and it takes more than just Donald Trump. He needs Democrats working with Republicans to acknowledge the crisis. And as he said, in an afternoon, we could come up with sensible enforcement priorities and targeted approach that would basically reduce this to a trickle. But the Democrats don't want it. And so I say, and I mean, I don't think most Democrats really lose a lot of sleep over the care of migrants on the border. The migrants are just pawns for most people, most Democrats in this debate. They're pawns because they right. use the plight of the migrant to try to hit Trump. And yet the plight of American citizens on the streets in L.A. or San Francisco or Chicago, they don't care about that. You know, it's convenient. They know all the cities run by liberals are collapsing, and they don't talk about that. That's right in the United States,
right? And you know, AOC's down there and doing her little moment on camera to scream and yell, and talks about them sleeping on the floor. And Border Patrol puts an order in for additional beds that they needed, and she immediately calls for Americans to boycott the company that they were buying the beds from. What is up with that? I mean, she's. You know, she's just so hypocritical. It's like either this problem, you want something to be done, and Border Patrol was trying to prove, you know, hey, we're getting beds for these people. But along your point, Laura, if these detention centers are so bad, why do they keep flooding our borders to come to these detention centers? And what would a homeless veteran or a homeless American family do to be in those detention centers? And, you know, Kamala Harris, Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, they live in one of the most hideous states in our country. With the homeless, and they don't do anything for the American citizens who are living this nightmare every single day. I've been down to a homeless veteran camp here in southern Arizona in the summer, you know, delivered water, cases of water to them. I see what these men and women go through. They would do anything to be in those detention centers because they have a bed, they have air conditioning, they have food. You know, the basic things that a person needs. And these people didn't come across Mexico expecting to arrive at a five-star resort. You know, we're doing the best we can with the overwhelming amounts of people that are coming, and we're taking care of them to the best of our ability. And we really don't owe them anything.
And again, at the American hardworking taxpayers' expense, I might add, we are paying in some cases as much as $1,000 a day for children in our custody, when those children could quickly be repatriated to their home countries. And they should take their DNA at the border so we know who's being recycled back into the country. All this has to happen. And as long as people are being cycled in and cycled right into the interior part of the country, it's going to keep happening. It can't happen anymore. It can't happen. Marianne, I know you're going to get reinstated on Twitter. And I appreciate your being here today and everything that you've done and to get the word out. And we're always here for you if you need anything. So please, please keep in touch with us and let us know how everything's going.
Thank you, Laura, very much. I appreciate
it. All right. God bless. Marianne Mendoza here on the Laura Ingraham podcast. Let's go to David in Florida. David.
Hey, good morning, Laura. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you.
Excellent. We were talking earlier about the social media impacts that I've experienced. We have actually, I've been taken down about 9 times for basically defending myself against charges of racism. And I don't even have any inklings towards that direction. But typically a response towards something like that would include something to the effect of, well, the people who are actually on the bigotry side of things are probably the ones telling people not to think outside of their color, which is an obscene thought to me. But I've experienced it there. And then with Google, you get this situation where you get Fox News at the bottom of a list, down 32 sometimes on major news stories. It'll be below local news coverage and even sometimes below Al Jazeera.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's another way to kind of delist, you know, influential voices or people. They delist them and try to remove the effect and blunt the effect of a Fox News. Oh, yeah, I have no doubt that that happens. No doubt whatsoever. That's why it would be ideal, I think, if maybe conservatives could – well, you can't really outdo Facebook. You're not going to build a bigger company than Facebook. You're just not. You can have alternatives, but they'll be tiny compared to Facebook. You won't have the reach. So this is where government – does perhaps come into the equation and bust up these companies, make them more accountable, subject them to antitrust laws. The other comments we've heard from Harmeet Dhillon, they don't have to be protected by the communications and decency legislation where they're basically protected from lawsuits. They get immunity. And maybe that immunity has to go away. So there's all sorts of things you can do to make them more accountable, but I think it's getting long since past the time that the federal government does step in. And I say this as someone who doesn't generally love federal government involvement here. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast. Always great to have you here. And remember all the great sponsors who made this podcast possible: Delta Animal Rescue, GenuCell, and ADT Home Security. We love them all, and you should too. They believe in a free exchange of ideas, and they're not, you know, the usual weak sister puppies who wilt every time a liberal gets offended by something or claims to be offended by something. So GenuCell, Delta Animal Rescue, and ADT Home Security. America now and forever. The Laura Ingraham Podcast. We'll see you next time.